So, Bob, how did you get into vintage clock repair?
Well, I retired a couple years ago, and I was looking for something to keep me busy, and I bought a clock through an auction. When I bought the clock through the auction, it was missing some parts, it had a broken glass, so I tried to find some parts for it. And everybody that I called had no idea where to get them, that type of thing. I contacted a guy, and he actually said that that was kind of a unique part to get, and wondered why I wanted that part. And I had mentioned to him that, well, I dabble in fixing clocks. And he wanted to get a chance to meet me, or he wanted to meet me. And from that point on, we basically work together and fix clocks together, do service calls and runs and stuff like that, and basically he gave me a test to see if I could actually do them. So he gave me a clock and asked me to fix it. I fixed it and I took it back to him. So he gave me another one and I fixed it and I took it back to him. And he gave me a third one and he sent me a text message and that night and he said, I may have thrown you under the bus a little bit because that's a pretty difficult clock to fix. There's a whole bunch of different things wrong with it. And I said, well, it's all fixed. When do you want it back? And from that point on, we've just been working together. So it's kind of a part-time thing, but it gets busier and busier for me. And he's at a point where he's trying to retire. So he wants to slow down and like a little bit more work. And so it works out really well for us.
Awesome. So what kind of wind-up clocks have you repaired?
All kinds. Mostly mantle clocks. Mantle clocks are the big thing that I do. Big grandfather clocks as well, of course. I fixed a couple of little alarm clocks, vintage alarm clocks and things like that. So all kinds of different things.
So is each clock different, or are the repairs, they're similar clocks, say cuckoo or grandfather?
They all kind of do the same sort of thing. They all basically tell time, but it's slightly different things that they do to trigger different things, like chimes are triggered. Cuckoo clock in the background. Chimes are triggered differently by linkages or through gears, but they all have the same sort of idea of what they're doing. But it's pretty interesting trying to figure out some of the old ones, because there's no manuals on these clocks. So you're trying to look at it and go, okay, why is that causing that lever to lift? And then you watch it for a bit and you see what it's doing. It's pretty interesting to try to figure out.
Do you need any specific tools?
Most of my stuff is small pliers and forceps for different things, holding on clips, specialty pliers, just little wee pliers, that type of thing. I do have a spring winder, I use a torch, I use a vise for just about everything, and I make different holders to hold different mechanisms in, so all kinds of different stuff.
So you do have to make some of the tools.
Yeah, I do, because I can be a little bit frugal at times, and I don't want to go out and spend a couple $1,000s on a spring winder, so I made my own, which is my new laptop there. It does the job. It's not pretty, but it certainly works well.
So what's it like working on clocks with pendulums?
Pendulums are, they're fairly easy to work on. The issue with pendulums is trying to get them to sit completely level and tune it in so it basically has a perfect beat for a level clock. Because most times you'll fix a clock, you'll send it back to somebody and they'll say, it keeps on stopping. And if you go to their home and put a level on what they've set it on, usually what they've set it on is so out of level that the clock won't run. So pendulum clocks need to be perfectly level. And there's different things like balance wheel clocks that you can hold them upside down and they'll still run. So, yeah.
So if you have to work on a clock with additional time zones, mm-hmm. What's that like?
Well, time zone clocks, they're usually separate clocks for each time zone. So they're just like working on anything else. It's just a whole bunch of clocks. And usually time zone clocks will be quartz clocks. So they're usually battery-operated or plug-in style or whatever. But for different time zones, you'll have a different clock for each time zone, usually. But you can get into nautical clocks that run different shifts for people. So on a boat, there's different shifts. So a nautical clock will basically chime out the half hour to notify the person that's working the shift that, you know, it's a half an hour into their shift, it's an hour into their shift, it's an hour and a half into their shift. So on a boat, it's usually like a 4 hour thing. So at the 4 hours, there's 8 chimes. So every half hour, that's my clock there. So every half an hour gets a chime. So a half an hour into your shift gets 1 chime. An hour into your shift gets 2 chimes. 3 chimes is an hour and a half.
Right.
4 chimes. 8 chimes. You finish your shift. Another guy comes on. He starts his shift. He works a half an hour. So nautical clocks sort of chime slightly different from regular clocks. Usually you'll get into quarter hour chimes, half hour chimes, that type of thing. But they all basically do the same type of thing.
So do families tell you about the stories behind the clocks?
Quite often. That's the big thing. You'll show up at someone's place and they'll tell you all about, this used to be their grandfather's clock, or this came across on the boat from somewhere, you know, type thing. And those are the ones that they really want to get the clocks fixed. They want it working. They want it working for Christmas because everybody's coming over. They want it fixed for a certain birthday because it's, you know, someone's birthday was their clock originally. So that type of thing. You see all kinds of stuff. You get all kinds of stories. And some are like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Others are, you know, they picked up a clock at a thrift shop or something like that, and they want it fixed. Different strokes for different folks.
Thank you very much, Bob. And we have your information listed below, but can you tell people verbally how to contact you?
Best way to contact me is phone, 519-897-0419. Email is always good, bgdm201@gmail.com. Reach out and we'll see if we can get that treasured heirloom fixed for you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob.
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for coming over and showing an interest in what I do.